Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Filling in for Steve Bono today is Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. But before we talk to Mark, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Mark, I don't even know where you start with this team right now, losing 13 games in a row. It's pretty much the season from hell. It's hard to even prioritize what they need to do first as far as trying to improve this team for next season and going forward. What's your take on what the priorities are?
You know what I think, Joe? The main thing the 49ers have to do is just be interesting and entertaining again somehow.
Right.
Because there's only one team wins the Super Bowl every year. There are only two teams that reach the Super Bowl, and there are only, there are only four teams that reach the conference finals, and those are probably that you consider that a successful season if you reach the conference finals. So the other 28 teams, you need to be interesting and exciting from time to time and entertaining, and that's the big thing about the 49ers to me. They are just a hard team to watch. They don't have many real likable players that you can get enthused about. And when I go cover those games on Sunday at Levi's and then on the road, and you see who are the jerseys that the 49ers fans are wearing. I mean, it's Frank Gore still, right?
Right.
It's Patrick Willis still, right?
You know, Joe Montana.
Well, and Joe Montana. I mean, I see a few Carlos Hyde jerseys, but it's guys that aren't with the team anymore because you don't have these guys that people, when you say, yeah, I can't wait to get to the stadium on Sunday to see this guy play or to see what this guy will do next. That's before, among all the other stuff, you need that too to keep, selling tickets.
Yeah. I mean, how do you evaluate this when you're going forward? Because you're in the middle of such a disastrous season, being 1-13, losing 13 games in a row. How do you even make a decision on Coach Kelly at this point, with such a bad season going?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think that you talk to a lot of people on your team. I'm talking about the players, to see what they think. The players, the players on your team that you trust. And in the 49ers case, I would say it'd be somebody like Bowman and Joe Staley, the veteran guys, to say, what do you think about the way things are going with this guy? Not that they're going to decide whether he stays or goes, just to get the input. You take a look at each game in terms of, well, what did he have to work with us in this game with the injured players and so forth, and how did he do? I mean, I the big thing that I guess has disappointed me about Kelly. First of all, I thought he would put an interesting and exciting team on the field from time to time, and that has not occurred, right?
No.
And the second thing is they've been ahead in, four games at halftime and blown leads. If you're ahead in a game, that means you can win the game, right?
Yeah.
Logically.
You would think.
You can't win a game unless you get ahead. Well, and when you get ahead, that means you can win. Well, They haven't been able to close those out. Now, I would want to think about why that happens. And then finally, of course, what you do is you say, well, what else is, what are our other options? First of all, you have to decide, are we in position to, pay this guy off the remaining 3 years of his contract? And who do we like out there that might be available to replace him? And that's the part we don't know yet. So, I my column today in the Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group is about, you know, what Balky and Kelly are going to have performance reviews at the end of the year. What do they tell Jed York? I think Balky, probably there's not much he can tell Jed York in terms of, you know, trying to keep his job, but he'll make a case. But he doesn't talk to the media. Kelly does several times a week. So I was out there on Monday and tried to get an idea of how he's going to defend himself. Didn't put it to him that way. I just said, what did you think was going to go right this year? You know, how did you think? how did you expect you were going to win games, right? And he kind of looked at me and said, well, that's an interesting question the way you put it that way. And then he basically, he was trying not to make excuses, but he of course was. And he talked about the injuries, and just the injuries just haven't allowed. Sounds like to me, he will say, the from what he said yesterday, the injuries have just been, every week has been different. You've had to do something different because of the injuries, and it's just been too much to try to overcome. Does Jed York buy that argument? Do you buy that argument? I sort of buy the argument, but I still think if you're ahead, no one was expecting this team to go to the Super Bowl. No one, I certainly wasn't expecting them to go to the playoffs. I don't know many people were, but if you're ahead at halftime against the Jets,
right,
I expect you to win. And that's been the most discouraging thing.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start with the most discouraging thing, because I guess I kind of start on defense, because I just look at a team that gives up that many points, gives up leads. And I know Navarro Bowman is the guy that I point to as saying, okay, that's the biggest injury that you couldn't afford to have. But there's so many other guys that are just missing tackles, and they're not really putting much pressure on the quarterback. I mean, DeForest Buckner is really one of the few bright spots on that defense. I mean, I think Eric Reed is another guy, when healthy. Again, he went down. He's another guy that's a bright spot on the team. But there's not many defensively, and I kind of think it starts there. I know, you talked about run game being important, but if you can't stop the other team at all, I don't know that you really have a chance.
Right. Well, so then maybe you ask Chip Kelly, all right, so what are you going to do about that? Are you going to fire, you're going to blow out your defensive coordinator and your defensive coaching staff? How are we going to fix that? What's your idea for fixing that? And see what he says. Chip's a pragmatic guy. He's a bright guy. Maybe that's part of the answer if he's going to stay. But I really do think it starts at the top with the general manager in terms of trying to get the structure back together to play, so they can play football the way, if they choose to retain Kelly, the way he wants to play football, finding the pieces to help him do that, and finding the coaches that can help him do that. But think about this too, Joe. What defensive coordinator wants to come work for Chip Kelly, right?
Yeah, your team's going to be on the field constantly. You're going to have an exhausted
somebody
group.
Will.
Yeah.
And you can hire somebody. There's only 32 of those jobs in the league. But, are you going to get the best defensive coordinators? I'm not so sure. Did we mention it's a mess out there?
It's just a mess. 49ers Extra will continue in just a moment with special guest Mark Purdy. But first, I want to tell you more about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. I'm still not canceling out Kaepernick coming back. I mean, here's the thing about Colin that I'd like to talk about is that I think that if he had a couple of receivers, it might have been different on offense this year. What do you think? You think it's over? You think the Colin Kaepernick era is over?
I do. I do think they've got to move on, and he's got to move on. I just don't see him. I mean, I just don't like the body language he's had here this past year. And I'm not talking about kneeling down for the national anthem. That's something totally separate, and that's his deal, and that's fine. I think he's sincere about all that stuff.
Yeah.
God bless him. But I'm just talking about on the field. If you look at the way he carries himself on the field during drives and so forth versus other guys like Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers or some of these guys who you can tell they're the leaders out there. And Colin just looks to be, to me, like a guy waiting for the next play to come in. And then, you know, he doesn't ever yell at receivers for dropping the balls, and I guess that's being a good teammate. But you know what? Maybe he should yell at the receivers for dropping the ball, right?
Like Tom Brady does, I guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, Brady's earned the chops to do that. But, you know, Colin went to the Super Bowl. I mean, he's got some – I mean, he has the right to do that. And I just don't see him as the leader, a leader of the offensive unit even. He's a player out there, I'm sure, doing the best he can. But I think I don't know if that would change if he went to another team. But I think he's done with this team. That's my opinion. I think he's done with this team. Now I'm not familiar with all the ins and outs of the contract that he restructured. I think it gives him some options and it gives the 49ers some options. You know, unless he's going to take a huge pay cut to go somewhere else, I think he'll go somewhere else.
Thing about the offense to me is that you can't come back if you're down in a game. You can't come back by throwing the ball. Even Chip Kelly admitted that. You know, we're not the type of team that can just throw the ball. You know, if other teams know we're throwing,
which tells you what he really thinks about Kaepernick, right?
I mean, you can't win that way in the NFL. You have to be able to come back.
Right. So doesn't that tell you that what, again, between the lines, Chip Kelly is telling you what he thinks about Kaepernick?
Right.
We don't have the kind of team that can throw the ball every down and come back. Really? Okay, well, then that means you don't have the quarterback you want. Because, you know, I mean, Alex Smith is not the most awesome quarterback in the world, but he does lead fourth quarter comebacks from time to time, right? And he could throw the ball every down if you have to. And the coaches, I think, have confidence in him in Kansas City to do that. But if Kelly doesn't have – now, I guess maybe that's unfair in this sense. Maybe Kelly was talking about – we don't have the whole offense to do that with the receivers and all that, but to me, it was also saying we don't have the quarterback to do that. We don't have we don't have the structure to do that. I'm curious to see, first of all, the first 2 weeks of January are going to be the most crucial 2 weeks of the last several years for this franchise, and we'll see where we stand on January 15th when everyone will be distracted by then by whether the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. But
right.
Because that's when the NFL meetings are where they're going to maybe decide that. But if you're a 49ers fan, those are the 2 weeks you want to pay attention. Don't pay attention to the game this week. Don't pay attention to the game next week. Circle those first 2 weeks on your calendars of January.
Right.
And set your alarm because any morning could bring – interesting news.
Don't you think that the quarterback, though, takes too much credit and too much blame? I mean, I know you have to start with the quarterback, but anybody else you bring in here, what does he have? I mean, he doesn't have anybody to throw to. I don't see any top-flight receivers.
Well, they had Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree,
right?
And they could have kept those guys, and they chose not to. And, yes, that's an excellent point. But in terms of whether the quarterback gets too much credit or too much blame, in the NFL, quarterbacks are the league.
Yeah,
I mean, when I first got into covering the NFL in the late 70s, it was in Cincinnati. I worked for the Cincinnati Enquirer. The team, of course, was the Cincinnati Bengals. Their general manager was Paul Brown.
Yeah.
Who kind of invented modern pro football. And he would come to practice from time to time, and I was not the brightest guy in the world, but if Paul Brown was at practice on a given day, I understood very quickly, you go stand next to that guy and keep your mouth shut and you might learn something, right? So I learned a lot standing next to Paul Brown watching Bengals practices back in 78, 79, 80. And at one, first of all, you know, the first thing you learned was no quarterback was ever as good as Otto Graham. But the other thing you
nobody
learned,
compares.
Yeah, no. Well, I actually agree with that. You go back and look at Otto Graham. Otto Graham played 10 years of pro football, made the championship game, and every year he was in pro football.
Wow.
He you know, in the All-American Conference for 4 years, and then 6 years in the NFL. He made the championship game, like the equivalent of the Super Bowl, every year, and they won, I think, six of them. And 1 year, Otto led the Browns in passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns.
Jeez.
I mean, this guy, he's, when people talk about who's the greatest quarterback ever, I think he's right there at the top. But anyway, the other thing you learned from Paul was, you know, at some point we were talking about something, I don't know, the passing and the game, you know, and he turned to me and he goes, Mark, you know, really, this game is pitch and catch. This game is pitch and catch, and it's been that way, you know, for years. And that's why the most important people on your team are the pitcher. The most important guy on the team is the pitcher. And then the second most important guy are the catchers, which kind of talks in with, all right, so the quarterback is the NFL. And Paul Brown realized that, I suppose, before anybody, you know, because I remember this conversation, and I said, but Paul, you know, you had Jim Brown on your team in Cleveland, right? The greatest running back ever, maybe.
Right.
And he said, "Did you ever notice how many times we threw the ball to him instead of handing it off?" And that is also true. If you go back and watch those Browns teams of the 50s and 60s, you know, Paul and his coaches were the guys. You know, they were kind of invented the precursor to the West Coast offense. Bill Walsh was on his staff in Cincinnati, kind of picked up on that, and then obviously expanded it into. But you know, they threw that little swing pass to Jim Brown, you know, so they wouldn't have to pound him in the line every time. They would have him swing out and they'd fake the ball to somebody else and then throw the ball to Jim Brown in space and let Brown run there. And Jim Brown was a really good receiver. They even sent him downfield sometimes. So Paul Brown realized that, and kind of codified it for the rest of the league for a while. And then so when you say, do you think the quarterback is you know, gets too much credit and too much blame? Yeah, that's true. But it's because pitch and catch.
Pitch
and catch.
Yeah. No, it starts with the quarterback. And to finish up here, I mean, just thinking about Trent Baalke and what he needs to do now.
Because you know what? Colin Kaepernick is no Otto Graham.
No.
But anyway, go ahead. Let's
no,
move
but
on.
If let's say Baalke is still here, which he's probably not. If he's still here, or the next general manager, what does he learn from what Baalke did wrong? I mean, you know, you've got Carlos Hyde, but you really don't have much else. So,
right. What
is the next GM if Baalke is indeed gone? What's his priority? What's he got?
Well,
to
it depends at? On again. It depends on the way. If you hired Reggie McKenzie, the Raiders general manager, if you got him away from the Raiders and hired him as the 49ers, general manager, we know exactly what he'd do. He'd try to build the team the way they did in Green Bay and the way they have in Oakland, right? It doesn't matter what Baalke did. You know, he did what he did, and God bless him, and he moves on. It's the way you decide you want to play. If you bring in some, let's look at another team in the league. I mean, look at Kansas City. You were just in Kansas City, right? I mean,
that
team is built, you know, you've got a game manager type guy at quarterback, Alex Smith. You've got decent running backs. You got a pretty good defense, right? That team is now in second place, but it was leading, the division for a while. You can build a team that way. The other successful team, you know, look at New England. New England, you build a team with a really good defense that you can keep plugging in guys if you draft them correctly. You find a great quarterback. I mean, that's the toughest part. And you get, you know, you get a, you know, the tight end's now hurt there, but I mean, you decide how you want to do it. There are many successful models, right?
No, like
the
you
Denver
said,
Broncos,
yeah.
The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl last year with a totally different model than, certainly the Panthers who they beat, but let's go back. Won it differently than the, New York Giants, right? The Broncos model is nothing like the New York Giants when they won the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
So there are different models that succeed. You just got to decide what your model is, what your architecture is, and then work like crazy to fit the right parts and get the right
You're right, because generally you can't have it all. I mean, look, Seattle was more based on defense. The Ravens back in the day when they had Trent Dilfer, they were more based on defense. And I would say the Broncos, because Manning was at the end of his career, more based on defense. And then you talk about the Raiders, more based on offense. Same thing with the Packers, just enough defense to win. If you're the 49ers, you kind of have to choose one or the other, right? I mean,
well, you have to decide how you want to play football, right? Do you want? Yeah, yes, yes. It's not as strict as one or the other, but you've got to emphasize. You know, you've got only got certain number of draft picks and a certain amount of money to spend on free agents, and you've got to decide how to do that. And if you believe you got the pieces on the 49ers defense and Bowman and Ray Armstrong, who's not bad. They just re-signed him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Let's find some great defensive players to play around those guys, and we'll play games and try to win them, 17-14.
Yeah.
Or you say, well, we got Carlos Hyde. This guy's a really good running back. Let's get some really good blockers in there, and let's find a quarterback that can and get some wide receivers and try to score more points. You have to decide where you want to spend your money, where you want to spend your assets, and go for it. And if you do it right, like as the Raiders have, it sounds horrible. You can't take a step back farther than they have now.
No.
But it's going to take a while. It'll take. But in the NFL, a while is 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Teams have turned.
And in the meantime, I think you really also need to be. We haven't even talked about that part of it, Joe. That these people who bought seat licenses and tickets at Levi's Stadium are really pissed off, and
I'm sure they are,
and understandably so. So you've got to give them something interesting and entertaining to watch while you're rebuilding. If I don't know what that means, it means giving them players that you want to buy their jerseys, right? And so that's another element. That's another reason why that's another reason why I'm not sure they can keep. I know they can't keep Balky, and I'm not sure they can keep Kelly. I don't know how, they've got to prove that they can be interesting to watch.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I mean, look, the Saints, when they had Archie Manning, even though they were losing, he was kind of interesting. You know, he would scramble around a lot, and, so at least he was sort of interesting.
Yeah, entertaining. And I mean, when the 49ers had Jeff Garcia, right? That guy was really fun to watch play.
Right.
And so they eventually won. They didn't have great seasons with him. They did had one or two really good seasons and then the rest not. But at least you went to the stadium on Sunday and you thought, well, we'll see what this guy does. This could be entertaining. So, oh, man.
It's just
tough. My advice, become a hockey fan or an NBA or Warriors fan, right?
Right.
It's going to be a great winter. Both those teams, the Sharks and the Warriors, are in first place.
That's exactly right. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for stepping in here for Steve Bono, who's on vacation.
Steve knows much more about this than I do. What does he say? I guess I better listen to your show.
You should listen. Yeah, we've evaluated every single game this year.
Yeah.
And, I think he's pretty disappointed with the way things have gone. So he's probably on board with you with pretty much everything you were just saying. So
yeah. What does he think of Kaepernick?
He thinks that he didn't want to be here the whole year. So
yeah. Okay.
So what you said about his body language is exactly what Steve has been thinking, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good. Well, Steve Bono's a smart guy, so.
He is.
Now I'm flattered if I'm thinking with him.
You're on the same page.
All right.
All right, Mark. Hey, happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thanks so much.
And we'll meet again.
That's Mark Purdy from the Bay Area News Group. Join us again next Tuesday. Steve Bono will be back as we'll talk about the 49ers game against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.